More Idaho Matters right now. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Day-to-day life has seen some huge changes over the last 18 months. Maybe we've seen some changes in ourselves. Maybe your hair is a little bit longer. Maybe you're wearing sweats more often than you're wearing jeans. You know, maybe your body has changed. And that's what we're hoping to unpack today, body image, and how our discourse around weight has actually intensified during the pandemic. Joining us today is Idaho body image activist Amy Pence Brown. So, Amy, the pandemic has changed everybody's lives, right? How would you say our relationships with our bodies have been impacted?
Well, I think that it's definitely been something that we've been hyper-focused on. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, right? One is we're in mm-hmm. this deadly pandemic that is terrifying for all of us, and how that might impact our bodies and trying to keep our bodies safe. So there's that. We've also mm-hmm. been really isolated and alone at home for the better part of 2 years now, almost. And that, of course, can make people hyper-focused on themselves and what they look like, and that change in routine and the sort of uncertainty of life in general can definitely wreak havoc on body image in a number of ways.
So, you know, when the pandemic first started and lockdowns happened, I mean, so we're going way back, you know, March, April of 2020, a lot of people, you know, kind of started mentioning that quarantine 15. What are your thoughts on, frankly, this fear of weight gain, but in particular, you know, during the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, it's been something that is inherently American, unfortunately, it seems. This fat phobia and diet culture is so pervasive that even a deadly pandemic can't keep us from our fear of fat. And right away, like you mentioned, within like 3 weeks of America sort of being hit hard by COVID-19 in early 2020, those jokes were going around about gaining the quarantine 15 in reference to, you know, like the freshman 15, mm-hmm. which is another way that we sort of have joked about, in a fat phobic manner, about bodies changing, in particular young adults' bodies changing when they leave their parents' house and go to college, right? Or gaining mm-hmm. the COVID-19 was another joke that I heard a lot. And again, I think that it's sort of misplaced fear and concern about our bodies and being so hyper focused on them that caused that. In addition, of course, there was the immediate sort of medical weight stigma that was rearing its head with COVID-19 in the early days, that being fat or larger bodied or having a higher BMI was a predictor that you mm-hmm. would get COVID or have a worse, you know, would have a worse impact on your body, which is not surprising to me either, given how much weight stigma is just embedded in our health systems.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Because this weight stigma in medicine is not something new. And I'd be curious for you to unpack this weight stigma in medicine for folks who may not know what that means. I mean, I will tell you this, my mother was quite overweight. And I remember every single doctor appointment she went to, the answer to everything was, well, if you just lose weight, if you would just lose weight. Frankly, that's traumatic, first off.
Right. It definitely is. And there are so many stories I have heard and experienced on my own, like your mother's, for years and years. And, you know, it's also really demoralizing. And it's also kind of, frankly, lazy medicine, right? There are so many things that happen mm-hmm. to bodies of all sizes. You know, there are thin, unhealthy bodies, and there are larger, healthy bodies in all sizes and sort of health metrics in between there, right? And you can't tell how healthy someone is just by looking at them. And we know that, and doctors know that as well, because they have even more experience working with a variety of bodies. And see, you know, them being healthy and unhealthy. And there's so many other behaviors mm-hmm. besides our weight, in particular our BMI. And the BMI, the body mass index, is something that our medical system used in a weird way. And I'm not quite sure why they picked it back up. You know, it's like a 200-year-old sort of scientifically nonsensical hack, basically, that was never meant to, you know, measure individual health. It was created in the early sort of 19th century by a Belgian mathematician to study the general population of white male Europeans. So it was never meant to be a metric of individual health. He wasn't even an expert in the human body. So that has been problematic for quite some time. There's lots of research that has that is happening now and has happened recently showing that that's not a good indicator of our health. However, we still have a lot of doctors who learned that in medical school and are still practicing under that way of thinking. And it has caused an extraordinary amount of weight stigma, so much so that people like your mother and people even like me on occasion and people larger bodied than I am definitely are affected more seriously by this, so much so that they will go to the doctor with even a broken bone and be, you know, leave with a diet or a recommendation for you know, stomach amputation or weight loss surgery. So there, it's a serious problem.
And with that said, you know, then here we are in a pandemic where all of a sudden we hear one of the, you know, one of the risk factors is being overweight to getting COVID. And all of a sudden there is frankly fat shaming going on all over social media. And frankly, I believe that fat shaming is still quite acceptable within our culture. So here we have this fat shaming of, well, just lose weight, right? Lose weight, you won't get COVID. Well, we know that's not true. But with that said, how does this impact then people who are trying to seek treatment during a pandemic and this weight stigma in medicine that plays into it?
Right. And for years, even, you know, pre-COVID-19 here, fat people were not seeking medical care, basically, because of that shame, because of how horribly they've been treated, about because of, you know, how they've not received adequate help. When needed, they can't receive certain services, certain doctors just being, you know, terrible to them. They just don't go. They just don't go to the doctor and they don't seek out medical care when they really need it based on all of these things. And that's really unfortunate and terrible, right? That it doesn't make their quality of life any better. It doesn't help them, especially, you know, when they get COVID. Or not. And these jokes and this shaming, like you mentioned, is really pervasive, even more so now during the pandemic. Part of that probably because people are home and online more than ever before. So they're sharing a lot of things, you know, in social media, as we know, that are false and or damaging in a lot of times. And there are a lot of other factors that people don't consider during, not only related to COVID-19, but even before and hopefully after that, about the impact people's health greater than the weight, their weight, right? Or their body size, like the color of their skin, their educational level, their income level, their sexuality, their gender, things like that, that are so, their mental health, their, you know, their access to even finding doctors or having them or being able to afford them are all important factors that play into our whole health as much, if not even more so than our weight.
Do you think or feel that the pandemic has set us back in a way when it comes to how we talk about our bodies, how we talk about our weight? I mean, do you feel like there could be a lasting impact in regards to this?
Oh, I hope not. But when we're in the middle of it, it's so hard to see out. You know, I think so many of us, it feels like it's a never-ending pandemic and we're never going to get out. And so many awful, terrible things have happened because of it and are continuing to happen and are, you know, being impacted as a result of it. I hope not. I hope that people like you and this show and this program are doing more research. I've been able to be part of several other news stories by big national publications within the last year about this very topic. So I know, and unpacking it and talking mm-hmm. more about weight stigma. So I know that there are people out there looking to change the narrative and to continue the study and the research, both on a social level and a scientific and a medical level as well. And I think that's super important. We've also seen during the pandemic a big pushback against this, right? We've seen a lot of body image, body positivity and body image yeah. things sort of debunked. And a lot of people, oh my gosh, lots of books are being published and, you know, fat models are getting contracts and, you know, all sorts of people of varying sizes and abilities and skin colors and genders are being celebrated and their work is getting out there and published. So I am hopeful that I am hopeful about that.
And it's interesting too, because I think, you know, something I noticed myself during the pandemic, unfollowing quite a few influencers who weren't, I think, being positive about different bodies and different shapes and sizes, and following more body activists. And one thing that struck me is you know, this idea that what we don't seem to understand about weight is, or just bodies in general, is if we all ate the exact same things, we did the exact same exercise, we would all still look different. And this is something that sort of seems so simple, yet we, in America at least, have such a culture of thinness, and that this is the only thing that's acceptable. Have you seen a silver lining, at least, with this pushback, as you mentioned?
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, you mentioned one of my favorite tips that I always share, one of the easiest ways to change your thinking about bodies and to help strengthen your own body image and therefore that of others around you is unfollowing companies or people who do profit off selling shame or diet culture, and instead following people who are living their best lives in the bodies they have right now and doing amazing things, and bodies that look like yours and also bodies that look different than yours, right? And people mm-hmm. who have different experiences, because that's so important too, is that we don't just live in sort of an echo chamber online and in real life, but we have a diverse people around us teaching us new things. And that is such an important tool. I do think that is a silver lining. Like I mentioned, there are so many people speaking out about this and so many people doing important work, and we can find them so easily, which is one of the silver linings of social media in general, right? It has so many negative things about it. So many people talk about sort of the negative impacts of social media, but for a long time, I've used it as a positive tool in sort of this revolution, right? We have these tools mm-hmm. to create our own media in our hands, and how we use that should be careful, right? Should be carefully thought out and for positive and good and change. And that's how I like to use it. And I love that we can reach others in that way and with that tool alone.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us today about this. It really is an important topic that we need to be frankly talking more about. We've been talking with body image activist Amy Pence Brown. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.